It's good to have you here. We have some visitors with us, and we're glad that you're able to be here. And we hope that the time that we spend together is beneficial to you. We know that you visiting with us is a benefit to us. So thank you for bringing your worship here. Our goal is to find a way to encourage people so that we can walk this walk that we're trying to walk with God through the week. And it's not always easy to get through the week. So we rely on this time that we have together. Last time I was with you a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' statement in John the 14th chapter, verse 27. Jesus said, "I leave my peace with you. I give my peace to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And that's a really surprising statement for Jesus to make, especially when it's coming so close to the time that he's going to be arrested and he's going to be tried, he's going to be crucified, he's going to die. And in spite of all of that, and perhaps because of all of that, he gives to the apostles a peace that other writers will say passes understanding. So we're trying to understand that peace because that's a part of the hope that we have as Christians. Philippians, the fourth chapter, at verse 7. Paul said, "God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds because you belong to Christ Jesus." God's peace can never be completely understood. The peace that Jesus brings is a positive thing. It's not dependent upon circumstances. These are all things that we know. We understand. In this case that Jesus is talking about, he says, "I give you the peace of God." It's peace that comes from God. It's the peace of God. Now, today we're going to extend that a little bit. We're going to talk about peace with God. But let's understand that this peace that God gives is something that we can see. We looked last week at Philippians, the fourth chapter. We really started reading at the beginning of the chapter. But as you do that, you see that it's the peace that Jesus gave that fueled the joy that Paul was always talking about in all of the things that he wrote. It's the source of the graciousness that we feel toward each other. We have this peace of God. In class this morning, we were talking about John the seventh or Luke the seventh chapter and how Jesus interacted with a woman who was a prostitute and a Pharisee who had invited him to dinner in his house. And this Pharisee didn't know this peace that Jesus talks about. And because he didn't know this peace, he felt no graciousness toward this woman that was a prostitute. And we saw how Jesus had to correct that situation. It was this peace that's behind the active prayer life that was a part of the Apostle Paul. But in Philippians 4 at verse 7, you see this interaction. We have the peace of God. And Paul says that peace of God guards your mind. And because it guards your mind, it means that you could overcome fear. We have to have this peace that God gives us. It's not like the peace that the world gives. It's truly an incredible thing. But all of this begins really, with having peace with God. Not peace of God. We want that. We need it. But the way to get it is to be at peace with God. So let's think about a couple of passages. We're going to look at a passage in Romans, and we're going to look at a passage in Colossians this morning. But I want to focus on having peace with God and what that does. In Romans, the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul begins in verse 1. So let's just read this together. Romans 5, we're going to start in verse 1. And we'll read down through verse 11. You could read the entirety of the book of Romans, and that would be an excellent idea. Read the book of Romans to talk about the peace with God. But Romans 5, beginning in verse 1, the apostle says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we've had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. Now that has to be striking. We rejoice in our tribulations, and this is how that happens, knowing that tribulation works steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. Hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given to us. For while we were weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, stop there for just a moment. You know, we think about life apart from Jesus, and we tend to think, and I do it, that life apart from Jesus can still be a good life. We want to be good people. We are reluctant to remember that when we're living a life apart from Jesus, we're living a life that is at war with God. It's not like we're close to God. We're almost there. We're in open rebellion against God. So he says, God commends his love toward us, not when we were righteous people. That would be the guy who's almost next to God. Not when we were good people. God died for us when we were sinners. Much more than, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. Being at peace with God is finding a way to stop the war. And you know, it's not just a ceasefire. We're stopping the war. Our rebellion against God comes to an end. And it comes to an end when we're forgiven. It takes God's forgiveness in order to cause this war to cease. But it can cease. We don't have to be captive to this war. We've gone from a state of being at war with God to welcoming God to come into our hearts and to live with us. And that's what Jesus said in John 14 at verse 23. We stopped the war. That's what peace with God is. We stopped the war. Not by our own initiative, but because of what God has done. Let's look at Colossians, the first chapter. We'll extend the analysis from Romans over to Colossians. Paul has written both of these books, and he's trying to explain to us what we have. Peace with God. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 19. It was the good pleasure of the Father that in him, and that I think the him there is Jesus. You see that if you go back a little further and begin reading. It was the good pleasure of the Father that in Jesus should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. That word reconcile there is a big word, isn't it? We know what it's like when family members reconcile. We know what it's like to be reconciled to an estranged son or daughter. He says, through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, and you being in time past alienated and sometimes in your and enemies in your minds, and enemies in your mind in your evil works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish, unreprovable before him. So that if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and fill up on my part what's lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which was given me to you, were to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for all ages and generations, but now it has been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I labor also, striving to, according to his working, which works in me mightily. What is it that brings about this incredible cessation of warfare? This incredible peace with God? It's Jesus' blood. That's verses 19 and 20. It is the blood shed on the cross that makes this peace possible. And verse 22 says, Jesus, by virtue of what he did, presents us to his Father as holy, faithful, and blameless, or excuse me, faultless and blameless. An amazing transformation. Those are the attributes that Jesus gives to Christians. They are not attributes that we bring into the relationship. Jesus sets us free from condemnation. We saw that in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's because Jesus presents us with these characteristics to his Father because of his death on the cross. And we know that we're delivered from the wrath that is to come. Now, it's one thing to be at war with God now. That'll destroy your life. But that war is eventually going to end. And God is going to judge all men. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 1, or at verse 9, excuse me, he says, they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So yes, being at war with God, being in rebellion, refusing to live your life the way that God meant for people to live their lives. Yes, that will come to an end. But the end is total destruction for those people that live their life that way. Jesus reconciles us to God. It's through his cross that all of this happens. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's why we do it every week. We revel in the idea that God has made it possible for us to return to him. Now, next week, we'll continue this. And we'll talk about how we become part of all of this. It's an important idea. If you're here this morning and you no longer want to live in warfare with God, if you want to put on Jesus in baptism, and we'll talk about that next week, if you want to put on Jesus in baptism, do it today. We'll help you to do that.